Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Learning Ashari. Very remote this evening. I hope everybody is well and enjoying a meaningful and uplifting week. As always, we are learning the Zecher Nishmasa and the Ilui Nishmasa Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom, may the Neshama Vizuchos Aliyah Tova and Zechira Tova, and the merit of these Divrei Torah that we will share. We continue to thank the Fron family the many years of their continuing to sponsor the Shir L'Zecher Nishmas, their mother, Alaha HaShalom. So we are talking about food still. It seems to be a topic we can't get away from. And a lot of discussion came up last time based on the piece by the Meshech Chachma that we did. There were some questions and comments, and I said that I was going to go through with you an amazing Or HaChaim that gives a totally different perspective. But I'm in the middle of reading the Rabbi David Feinstein biography. I don't know if anyone read it. You read it, Esti Klein. It's mamish. I read many of the art school biographies. Many. I have many at home, Baruch Hashem. It's just right up there. Whoa, what a god, what a god. Every page I stop to read my husband the stories, literally every page. I say, I'm doing you a favor. You won't have to read the book. My son called from yeshiva today, a few days a week. He calls in the afternoon between Seder around 3 o'clock, 3:15. I think the whole conversation was me telling him like five different stories in a few minutes. It's just unbelievable. Really, it's just unbelievable. A little bit more than halfway through, because we're away. Halfway of a sefer when I'm home would take me at least 6 months, because I have time to read a page at a time. Half a page during lunch. It's just unbelievable. I keep interrupting my husband. I'm like, I have to read you another story. And the Shalom Bayis, Baruch Hashem, that's what he's doing. And he listens. Okay, he's sitting right here listening to me. Okay, so I'm going to start before we go. Oh my gosh, the book, Rav David Feinstein, the new biography, Rav David Zatzal. You must read it. Everyone must read it. It's unbelievable. Anyway, so I'm going to share two vignettes from this Sefer, because they relate to our topic, and then we're going to go into the Chazon Ish. It's talking about his Simchas HaChaim. The chapter is called Reasons to be Besimcha. Okay? Simchas HaChaim means joy of life. I don't know how you say it in the French, joy de vivre. I'm for sure saying it wrong. So Simchas HaChaim means a joy with life. The Rosh Hashiva, master of all Torah, pillar of Psak to his generation, a man whose every word seemed invested with holiness, did not find it unusual to stand in the toy section of Amazing Savings contemplating which doll or car would bring joy to the grandchildren. He enjoyed distributing the toys, his face glowing with pleasure as the grandchildren came forward one at a time. It was not that he was warm and sweet despite his greatness, reflects Rabbi Uri Deutsch, but that it was all one. His godless included that charm, the joy that flowed from him, the humility that was there, along with the ga'onus, the greatness in learning. In the later years, recalls a grandson, there were many wealthy people who gathered around my grandfather, and I remember thinking none of them looked as happy as my Zadie. Now here you go. A grandson who lived nearby recalls it was not just happiness, but he simply enjoyed life. Remember we learned the Meshech Chachma last time. A person has a chiyuv to just enjoy life. Mikol Eitz Hagan Uchel Tochel is the first mitzvah in the Torah, and the Gemara in Kedushin says that after 120 years, Esti Klein, here's another question. We're going to be asked, did you enjoy my world? And if you didn't enjoy my world, we're going to have to give a din v'chashbon for why not. A grandson who lived nearby is recalled it was not just happiness, simple enjoyment of life. Zadie woke up very early and had a coffee, after which he said to Hillam for about half an hour. He enjoyed that coffee to the fullest, and if any of us were staying over, he would offer to make us coffee as well, excited to share it. Then he went off to learn, thrilled with the opportunity to learn Torah. And he believed the breakfast he ate after that was the most delicious breakfast possible. That's how he lived his life, just so happy with his schedules and the opportunities that he was given. So these two examples that the grandson gives, so he drank a coffee, but he enjoyed the coffee. He didn't just drink a coffee to stay up or for the caffeine to start. He enjoyed it. And if you stayed over, he wanted you to enjoy it also. So he wanted to make you a coffee too. And when you went to breakfast, he felt as if it were, he believed that breakfast was the most delicious breakfast possible. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam lemar, mikol eitz hagan ochal tochal. Eat the food and enjoy what you're eating. Remember, we learned the faith over fear. Why doesn't a person enjoy the apple? Why doesn't a person have kavana on the brach on the apple? Because they're not miskaven when they're eating. They're mindlessly eating, just putting the food in their mouth. If you think of the juice of the apple dripping down your chin, you'll enjoy the apple and you'll make the brach with kavana. One more vignette from this biography, page 122, I wanted to tell you. Elliot and Debbie Kaplan lived in the same building as Reb David and the Rabbitson, and the two couples were close friends. The Kaplans would visit after each and every Shabbos meal, and Reb David, who did the shopping for Shabbos, would try to make sure there was something special for dessert in honor of Shabbos. It says in the biography that the Satmar Rebbe at one point tried to make a chavrusa with him, and Reb David went through all the nights of the week while he was busy and he could have a chavrusa, but he did on this Thursday night. So the Satmar Rebbe said, what about Thursday night? He says, no, Thursday night I shop for the Rabbitson for Shabbos. It was non-negotiable. So he could not make a chavrusa that night. And also in the book, the one time he was shopping, picking cucumbers, avocado, and tomato, and a bystander took a video. They couldn't get over there. Reb David Feinstein was shopping for vegetables. They took a video, and the video went viral in the frum world. And a Talmud was very upset. He thought it was a terrible offense to the Rosh Hashiva. How could you take a picture? How could you take a video and pass it around the world of the Rosh Hashiva shopping for tomatoes, cucumbers, back to food, and avocado? And he felt one of two things. Either someone else should do the shopping, or they should send someone to accompany Rav David so that when he's there, he'll have like a shmira. No one, it's not just a free-for-all. Rav David heard about this. He said, no, the video's a big schus for me. Maybe this way more people will learn about Shalom Bayis and they'll learn that they should also help their wives. So the Kaplans would visit after each and every Shabbos meal. Rav David, who did the shopping for Shabbos, would try to make sure there was always a special dessert. Elliot Kaplan, was an Emmy Award-winning filmmaker. He saw it as his privilege to come set up the Rosh Hashiva's microphone for the Friday Chumash year, ensuring the audio was perfect. Rav David, the Rosh Hashiva, would quip the first time Elliot suggested it. You want me in Hollywood, he said, but it became a custom. But there was another custom only that two people knew about. As the microphone was being affixed to his lapel, Rav David would whisper to his friend, Elliot, we have a really good cinnamon cake for tonight. Or the watermelon I bought looks so delicious. We'll enjoy tonight the Kavod Shabbos. It was a way of conveying friendship and appreciation. But it was also an enduring expression of appreciation for this world. I'm quoting verbatim, page 122. And its inherent joy. So I thought that these two vignettes about a tremendous gadol and a posek hadar really add much to our shir. It's okay to enjoy. You should enjoy. You should be miskaven and you should enjoy. But that we are going to look at what we were talking about last week, and that is Bereishis Perek Gimel. No, I just clicked on it without doing screen share. 1 second. Okay, could you see my screen that I'm in Bereishis Perek Gimel? Okay, very good. Okay, so the serpent was more cunning than all the beasts of the field that Hashem Elohim made, and he said to the woman, so did God say you can't eat from the trees of the garden? So she says, that's not true. We can eat from the trees of the garden, but from the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, Elohim said, don't eat from it and don't touch it. Pen, Joanna, if we were together, you would be telling me pen. Pen to Musum, lest you shall die. Vayomer Nachash ala Isha, and the Nachash says to the woman, right, Joanna, you would be saying, oh, pen, yes, okay, if I said it for you. Vayomer Nachash ala Isha, and the serpent says, you're not going to die. And this is where he speaks Lashon Hara, Kav Yachal, about God, says Rashi. Hashem knows, by the way, talking about Lashon Hara, it says in here, I read it today, it was blown away. So I could just sit here for 45 minutes and tell you stories from here. But the Chazon Ish said, the best Musar is stories of Gedolim. He only drank wines, talking about enjoying the produce, fruit, enjoying Hashem's world. He didn't talk about his own chumras. But also it says in Rav Moshe Twersky, Zecha Tzadik of Racha Shemin Kamdamo biography, he had many chumras and he wouldn't reveal the reasons for them. He didn't talk about it. So Rav David Feinstein also, his own personal chumras, he didn't talk about them. But one time a family member noticed that he only drank wines from America. He wouldn't drink wines from Eretz Yisrael. So they asked him. So he said, I'll tell you. If I drink wine from Eretz Yisrael, and it's not to my taste, it's going to make me have a negative thought about the wine, which will make me have a negative thought about Eretz Yisrael. So to avoid this problem, I just avoid the wine in the first place. Okay, get the biography. Let's go back to the psukim. It's no words that such people live amongst us. It's no words. Vayomer Nachash ala Isha, you won't die. God knows on the day you eat it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, no good from bad. And the woman sees, Vatera Ha'isha Kitov Eitz Machal, the woman sees that the tree is good for eating, the Chitaivahu the Einayim, and it's desirable for the eyes. Venechmara Eitz Lahaskil, it's so pleasing to contemplate. And she takes the fruit and she eats it. And she gives it to her husband and he eats it. Their eyes are open. They know they're naked. They sew a fig leaf. Rashi says, for that which they sinned, that's what they want to cover themselves with. They make belts. And they hear the voice of God walking in the garden. There's so much to say on these psukim, but it's beyond the scope of this year, on the time frame of this year. And they hear the voice of Hashem God walking in the garden by the winds of the day. And the man and his wife hide from Hashem Elohim in the middle of the trees of the garden. And Hashem Elohim calls to Adam and he says, Ayaka, where are you? So he says, oh, your voice I heard in the garden and I hid because I'm naked. I was afraid, and I hid because I'm naked. Hashem says, "Mi higid lecha ki erum atar? Who told you you were naked? Hamina eats asher sevisicha levelti achavi mena achalta? Did you perchance eat from the tree I commanded you not to eat from? Is that what you ate from?" Vayomer Adam. So the man says, "Ha'isha asher nasati imadi. The woman that you gave me, he nasnagdi min ha'etz v'achal. She gave it to me and I ate it." Rashi says, "Kan kafui betova." He was a kofer tov. Hashem made the woman to be an ezer kenegdo lo toveo, so Adam levado. Hashem made the woman to be a helper opposite him. And Adam says, it's not me, it's her. And Hashem goes to Isha, and he says, what did he do? So the Isha says, it wasn't me, it was the Nachash. Now everyone's passing the blame. And Rashi says, he was a kofer betov. He denied the good that was done for him. What does Adam say? So God says, Hamina eats a shosu v'chisicha levelti achami beno achalta. Did you eat from the tree of the fruit that I told you not to eat from? Haman mina eats. Hamamina Terminayin Chulin 139b, Hamin Ha'et, and Ak, we're coming up to Purim soon. And Adam said, the woman that you gave me, she gave me from the tree and I ate it. Okay, that's the sequence. And I told you that I was going to share with you an incredible Aruch Chaim. So I first was made aware of this Aruch Chaim when my son was in seventh grade in Yeshiva Darchei Torah. He came home and he told me, Rabbi Lan, my son and I were just talking about Divrei Torah that we're never going to forget last week. He said he's never going to forget this. I said, it was last week. I said, oh, the stipler, the frogs. You know the famous word of the stipler? One big frog, Perichas, we're going to Perichas. One big frog came out of the oven, Vata'al Hatzfardeya. And Rashi says the people were hitting the frog. And as they hit it, Nechilim, Nechilim, little frogs kept jumping out. And the more they hit it, the more frogs came out. And they kept hitting it. So the great stipler got on. Says, you learn from here about the midah of kaas, anger. When a person is overtaken by kaas, anger, he begins to act irrationally. And when he acts irrationally, he harms everyone around him and himself. They were so angry that there was this big, gigantic frog that kept hitting the frog. And more frogs came out. Stop hitting the frog. Nothing will happen. There'll be one big frog. You could ignore him. And your ovens will be free. And your beds will be free. And your bathtubs and your kneading bowls. Nothing will have frogs. Everything will be perfect. So leave the big frog right there, needless, and you go home. Don't do anything. They kept hitting the frog. Shows you, says the stipler, when a person becomes angry, he becomes completely irrational. So this Archaim that we're about to go through, my son said, he's never going to get this one, Bezos Hashem. So I said, me too. So here we go. Okay, well, my son's in 7th grade. The boys now are in 11th grade. Rabbi Lan spoke about this Archaim, and I looked it up. And it's Gevaldik, and it relates beautifully to our Shir, especially the questions that came up last week. And Shani was proposing that perhaps it was Adam's fault a little what happened, because he did not transmit it properly as per the Meshe Chachma. She did not understand the Tzivui. The first Tzivui, remember the Meshe Chachma says, the first Tzivui was that she should eat. The Shmira of Mitzvah's Aseh would give her protection from the Lot Aseh, but because she didn't understand it, what she was supposed to do was eat, which was a Tzivui. It wasn't Rishos, we learned this Aseh. It wasn't just permission, optional, that you could eat. You're commanded to eat. If you keep the Aseh, you have protection against the Lot Aseh. Adam dropped the ball, so Shani said, maybe it was a little Mida Keneged Mida that he was punished because he didn't transmit it properly. Okay, the Maisa, the Aruch Chaim touches upon this idea of what is going on here. Okay, so let's go. Someone is calling me, but I'm obviously not going to pick up in the middle of Shir. I have no idea who it is. I don't recognize the number. I don't think it's my son from Yeshiva. Okay. Vayomer ha'adam, because he usually calls from a different number. Vayomer ha'adam. Ha'isha asher nasata imadi, hi nasnali min ha'etz v'ocha. Adam says to Hashem, when God says in Pasuk Tes, Pasuk Tes is Ayako, where are you? That's a good, I don't know, I heard your voice, I'm afraid, I hid in the garden, Yud Aleph, did you eat from the tree I told you not to eat from? Yud Beis, the woman you gave me, she gave me from the tree and I ate it. They're calling again. Sim, could you call this number, 718-338-2697, 718-338-2697. I don't know why they're calling back a second time, but Sim, you can't take the call in here, they're going to hear you in the shir. Okay, here we go. Vayomer Isha. It's nothing? Okay. I thought maybe it was Shmuel. Tzaricha das, mama ana b'lashona b'tshuvas ha'isha. We need to understand, what was Adam saying in his answer? The woman that you gave me, she gave me from the fruit and I ate it. So I told you not to eat it. So what are you telling me the woman gave it to you? I told you not to eat it. I don't care who gave it to you. I don't care if you picked it by yourself. I don't care if the nachash gave it to you. I don't care if a cherry picker tree picked it off from you. I don't care if you found it on the floor. And I don't care if the woman gave it to you. I told you not to eat it. So how are you answering me? That doesn't answer my question. Did you eat the fruit? It's yes or no. I didn't ask you how you got the fruit. Maybe you bought it in the supermarket. Maybe you bought it on Amazon Prime. I don't care. Did you eat it? The woman. Don't tell me the woman. Don't tell me UPS delivered it. Don't tell a fellow like Mana from Shemayim, did you eat it or not eat it? Afilu kal shebekalim lo yoshiv tshuva kazah. The Aruch Chaim says even the simplest of simplest, the silliest of silliest, the lowest of lowest minds would not give such a ridiculous answer. Doesn't make any sense. He's not answering the question. Did you eat from the fruit? The woman gave it to me. Did you eat from the fruit? I bought in the restaurant. Did you eat from the fruit? I got it at the grocery store. That's not what I asked you. I didn't ask you who facilitated eating the fruit. I asked you, did you eat from the tree? I told you not to eat from. The woman gave it to me. Afilu kal shevekalim lo yoshiv tshuva kazeh. Even the simplest of simplest would not answer with such a silly answer. How much more so to answer the Ribbono Shel Olam himself? Do you think you're going to trick God? You're going to pull the wool over his eyes? He's asking if you ate from the fruit to answer. Va'od armo min ha'etz. Furthermore, Adam says, Ha'isha asher nasati imadi, hi nasnali min ha'etz ve'ochal. What does that mean? God says, ha'min ha'etz asher sivisich levelti ha'chami men ha'ochalta. And he says, hi nasnali min ha'etz. She gave me from the fruit. So what's going on? The Rechaim is saying, we don't understand Adam's answer at all. Shalo hayat sarich lomar elahi nasnali ve'ochal. All he needed to say was, she gave it to me and I ate it. We all know you're talking about the tree. God asked you if you ate from the tree. Why does he repeat, the woman you gave me, she gave me from the tree and I ate it? That's what God just asked you. You don't need to write in a full sentence. It's not an essay in college. You just need to say yes or no. Umuvan hadavar. And it is understood from the matter. Sha'al ha'etz ha'muzkar hu omer. It would have been understood from the matter, that over the tree that they're talking about, that's what he's talking about. What do you think? You're talking about a tree that's a different garden? Talking about a tree that's around the world in Africa? No, I'm talking about the tree right here. Did you eat it or not eat it? Why does he need to say, Ha'isha shenasata imadihi nasnali min ha'etz? Everybody knows it's min ha'etz. V'chein matzinu she'ar machava b'tshuva. And furthermore, we find that the woman said, Ha'nachash ishi ani ve'ochal. And Hashem then goes to Chava, Isha shenachavi. And he says, what did he do? She says, the serpent tricked me and I ate it. She didn't need to say Hanachash Hishiani Veochal Min Ha'etz. She just says Hanachash convinced me, so I ate it. So why does Adam add the eight? So what he's saying is that it seems superfluous words, and Adam's answer doesn't seem to make any sense to God's question about this first eating. It's really the first eating in the history of mankind, at least as recorded in the Torah. If you remember last week, the Mashal Chachma does say that she went around and ate other trees and fruits first, but since that was without the kavana of the mitzvah, she doesn't have schar mitzvah. So the Mashal Chachma says she ate other trees first. She ate other fruits first. But in the pshat, we have the first instance of enjoy your coffee and enjoy your breakfast and say it's the most delicious breakfast in the world. Okay, so what's going on here? Vinira, it appears. Shakavanas ha'adam hi shalo yada dara. This is such a gevaldik chiddush of the Aruch Chaim. It's such a unique way of looking at this whole maisa. It appears that the kavana of Adam, the intention of Adam was, he didn't know anything. He didn't know what was going on. Ki im ha'isha hevia lifanav ha'mizuman va'achal. The woman that you gave me to be a helper opposite me, she brought it before me, the prepared food, and I ate from it. My husband was just saying yesterday something about like Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He would say, what bracha achrona do I have to make? Because he wasn't even sure what he ate. So Adam is saying, I don't know what I ate. It's a gevaldik pshat. It's totally not on the simple level of understanding. According to the Aruch Chaim, Adam is saying to Hashem, I don't know what I ate. Hashem says, Ayaka. Pasuk Tes, where are you? Adam says, Es kol chashamati began v'ira. Ki erum ve'achabei ki erum ani. I heard your voice in the garden. I'm afraid. I hid. I'm naked. God says in Pasuk Aleph, did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? In Pasuk Beis, Adam simply says, Ha'isha asher nasna imadi hi nasnali min eitz v'ocha. The woman that you gave me, she gave me from a tree and I ate it. The Rechaim is explaining that Adam does not know what he ate. He is saying to God, now Rashi, this is not the pshat, because Rashi says, classic interpretation, he rejected the good. I gave you a woman to be a helper, opposite you, you're blaming her for your sin. Rechaim says, she gave him something to eat, as his Ezer Kenedo. He ate it. He actually doesn't know what he ate. So when he says to God, the woman you gave me, she gave me something to eat and I ate it. He's saying, Hashem, I don't know if I ate from the forbidden tree or not, from the forbidden fruit. I ate what she gave me for supper. The Sar Torah would say to Robertson, what bracha do I have to make? What are you serving me? You don't question what the woman makes. You just eat it. V'nirasha kavanas ha'adam hishalo yada davar. It appears that the intention of Adam in his answer was he just pasha didn't know anything. Kim ha'isha hevia lefanav ha'mizuman v'achal. The woman brought it before him, ready to eat, and he ate. We were eating a dinner this evening, so my husband ordered like this appetizer. It was like plantains. I've never tasted them in my life. I said, I wonder if I'm supposed to be making a shechianu. It's like plantains with a little bit of pulled beef and avocado on top, as I said. So there were like six bites on a plate. So I tasted it, and I said, oh, it's delicious. So I said, I never tasted plantains before. I might have to make a shechianu. My husband's like, plantains? He says, I didn't even know. I said, I'm surprised you ordered it. He says, I'll be honest, I didn't know what it was. I said, I figured you weren't paying attention. It said in the menu that it describes the food that has plantains, but he didn't know. He saw the pulled beef with guacamole part. So he ordered it, and he ate it. The base was this plantain. It was cool. I don't know if you ever tasted it. I didn't make a shechianu. It doesn't show what I was supposed to do. So Adam is saying, I don't know what I'm eating. So there are many men who say, I don't know what I'm eating. Whatever she gave me, that's what I ate. You say pulled beef, what's on the bottom? I have no idea. I just ate it. My husband told me, Michal, the whole week you're giving shiavon in the hall. I couldn't hear you. The woman gave it to him and he ate it. The enu chayev l'shal, ha'muka shefan of davar zaminai. Is Adam obligated? Is he chayev to ask? When she serves him food, does he need to say, honey, where did you buy this? Is it Glat? Is it Rabbanut? Is it Rabbanut Mahadran? Is it Eda Haredis? Is it Beit Yosef? Is he going to interrogate the wife? Whatever she gives him, he ate. He's not chayev to ask her when she serves him. What is this? Where did you get it? The whole world was before him. Literally, the whole world was created for Adam. Adam could really say, the whole world was before him, full of delicacies that God planted. Why would he think his wife is serving him the only thing that's forbidden? She comes home, he comes home, he says, what's for supper? She says, sit down. He says, what's the bracha? She tells him and he enjoys it. 5 seconds later, God says, did you eat from the food I told you not to eat from? He says, I don't know what I ate. She did the grocery shopping. She prepared the dinner. I have no idea. You think I asked her what shechita this is? You think I asked where she bought the chicken for supper? Such a unique. Rachi Frieda, I'm not going to say Navel Chiddush because I don't know how to pronounce the word. And every time I say it wrong. It's a very unique Chiddush. That's why Avram. That's why Adam was medakdik to say Ha'isha asher nasata imadi hi nasnali. That's why he makes a point of saying the woman that you gave me. What is he saying? He's not being a kofer tov, says Arachaim, saying you gave her to me. So I would imagine if you Hashem created her etza metzamai ubasar mibsari, if you created her bone from my bone. Excuse me, I'm flesh from my flesh. You must have created her to be a helper for me. I can't imagine you created this arch nemesis to be my enemy and serve me what's forbidden. Asher nasati madi, you and your goodness. The kol yachol, the baal chesed par excellence into infinity, gave me a woman to help me. Why would I think she's trying to make me stumble and trip? That's why he says that you gave me. So lo the chayv or the chapes or the dakdek acharel a das hamuva lefanav. Am I expected? If you gave me this woman, certainly I'm not obligated to do an investigation, to check after, to know exactly what he's serving. I trust her. If you God made her, and she's my Ezer Connecto, so I trust her. I have to check everything. Did you check the lettuce for bugs? How did you wash it? How many times in the water? What kind of soap did you use? Did you hold it up to the light? 3 leaves, 5 leaves, 6 leaves? Serves me salad. I ate the salad. Hashem gave him this woman, Chava, who she's going to become named. She's not Chava yet. This woman, Hashem gave him to help him and to be a benefit. So he should grow Maila Maila. The Ein Ra Yored Me HaShemayim. And since nothing bad comes down from Shemayim, because Hashem is the absolute Tov Umeitiv, he is good who does good, and no bad emanates from Shemayim, Eino Lo Lidbok Achareh. Does he really need to check after her? Whatever she gave him, it's kosher. The mashgiach in the kitchen is the Jewish woman. Think about that. Every restaurant needs a mashgiach. Every caterer needs a mashgiach. But your home does not need a mashgiach. Why not? Because your Baruch Shalom trusts you. So if your Baruch Shalom trusts you, you don't need a mashgiach. It's really interesting, no? Then certainly your husband trusts you. So Adam is saying, why should I check what she gave me? I didn't investigate and interrogate which tree did you get this from? Kimin hastam ma'isena'im? Because it's just obvious and apparent that her deeds would be pleasant if you, God, created her. V'tim sasha amuzal, and you find the Chazal say, ein bod kimin ha-mizbech ulamala. So I'll tell you, the reason I brought the Or HaChaim in this fashion, this is the Or HaChaim elucidated, which I obviously prepared this week's shiur before I left last week. I prepared this week's shiur last week before we left. So the reason I used this Or HaChaim instead of just sharing the Or HaChaim in full Lashon HaKodesh is because I needed a couple of footnotes. 1 second, there's comments here. Oh, 1 second. Mamish is like Yeshbo Mamish. Yeshbo Mamish. It's in this week's parsha, Rashi. Rashi to Perek Yud Pasuk Chaf Aleph, when he's describing the Choshech, the darkness, the plague of darkness, the ninth plague. Rashi says Yesbo Mamish, about the darkness. It's not just dark like when you turn off your lights. It has substance to it. It had a reality to it. It's Mamish the Metzias. Oh my gosh, how do you translate the word Mamish? It just is. It is what it is. It's a reality. Yesh bo mamash. Perek Yud, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Substance. Art school says substance. That's not what it means. Does anyone have a better translation of the word mamash? Actually? Actual? Actual. Actual? Okay. Oh, how do you translate the words mamash and dafka? Dafka is like with intent. Okay. I dafka want to speak Lashon Hara now. I specifically, with intent, right now, want to say that big juicy piece of gossip. Dafka means, what did the people say? Genuinely, really. So that's my example. I really, dafka, want to speak Lashon Hara right now. I mamash want to eat a piece of cake. I just... I absolutely feel I have to eat a piece of cake. Ooh, these are hard words, Nancy, to translate. Mamash and dafka. Okay, I hope I gave thumbs up. Okay, we gave it over well enough, Nancy. Yeah, it's clear? Okay. So let's keep going. So this is a really beautiful Or HaChaim. Oh, the reason I brought it to you, instead of just showing you the Lashon HaKodesh of the Or HaChaim inside, because I knew it was going to be away, and I don't know here what the Or HaChaim is referring to, so I needed this footnote. So he brings a proof from the Gemara Maseches Kedushin. The Gemara says, in Kedushin, we do not need to check the eligibility of a Kohen who brought offerings on the altar or anyone higher up on his family tree. So let's look at the footnote. This is the whole reason I wanted this instead of just putting it on the screen for you. So look at footnote 75. What's Or HaChaim talking about? What the Gemara is saying there is that the Mishnah is discussing a rabbinic law that obligates a Kohen to check a woman's lineage before marrying her, to ensure she is permitted to him. So a Kohen has to check a woman's lineage before. Maybe there are certain categories, classifications of women who are usher to a Kohen. If in the course of his investigation, he finds that one of her ancestors was a Kohen who served in the Beis HaMikdash, There's no need to check the lineage of that ancestor, and may be assumed such a coin has no disqualification. So he's checking a woman's lineage before marrying her. Maybe she's not permitted. Maybe she's from a forbidden class of women that he's not allowed to marry. If he finds that someone in her ancestry was a coin in the Beis HaMikdash, he doesn't need to check the lineage of that ancestor. Why? Because it may be assumed that such a coin had no disqualification, or he wouldn't have been able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. This is because before a coin was allowed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, his ancestry would be investigated to show he was qualified. So once you find out, you're checking out the Sharach, and once the coin finds out that she has in her Yichus someone who served as a coin in the Beis HaMikdash, you could stop. You don't need to check him out, because if he served in the Beis HaMikdash, then he was qualified. Let's go back to the Aruch Chaim. So the Aruch Chaim says, "V'tim tzasha amuzal." You will find that the sages of Chonot Bracha say, "Ein bodkin min hamizbech v'lamala." We don't need to check from the altar and above, meaning the coin who brought from the altar and above, on his family tree. Ad kan. That's what the Gemara says. Harei dechol shehuzchak b'makom kadosh chezka kashu shleim alav. We see from here that anyone who is known to have served in a holy place, such as the Beis HaMikdash, is presumed to be fully legitimate. All right, because of that line, I wanted this Aruch Chaim elucidated for you, instead of just putting on the screen the full Lashon HaKodesh. What is that? Oh. So, he brings a proof from this Gemara, from Kiddushin, to prove that you can assume someone's reliability and kashrus. There's a cheskas kashrus. You don't need to check past that. Not that Isha had any ancestors before her, but she had God who created her. Harei dechol shehuz... Oh, okay, we said that, right? Anyone who serves in a holy place, like the Beis HaMikdash, is presumed to be fully legitimate. There's another comment. Okay. Umikol shekein Isha gedola kazov. Asher baralo Hashem le'ezer. If you can assume that this woman, the coin's coming to marry, is kosher to him, once you find out that she had an ancestor who served in the Beis HaMikdash, you don't need to check anymore. We assume that if you serve in the Beis HaMikdash, she's a kosher coin, which means she's a kosher bas kohen, and she's permitted to... she would be, unless there was a mother somewhere along the way, but she comes from the land of Kuna, you assume that she's kosher to him, it's fine. So what about Isha? Isha doesn't have anything questionable. Isha was created by Hashem himself, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf Beis. Vayivan Hashem Elokim Esatzela Asher Lakach Min HaAdam LeIsha. Vayiviyah LaAdam. Who created Isha? What's her lineage? What's her yichus? Kosh Baruch Hu B'kvodu B'atzmo. He took the side bone that he took from Adam and he built it into woman and he brings it to Adam. Zod hapam etza me'atzamay b'sar mi b'sari l'zoi yikara Isha ki mi ish l'kach l'zos. My gosh, she's bone from my bone, literally. She's flesh from my flesh, literally. Therefore, she will be called Isha. She was taken from man. Rashi, she says there, from here you learn the world is created with Lashon HaKodesh. Ish, Isha. Should Adam check her? Should Adam check what she's bringing him to eat? U'mikol shekein, how much more? So Isha gadol kazo, shor bara lo Hashem le'ezer. This great woman, Isha, who Hashem himself created as a helper for Adam, eino tzarich lechapes acharam mano senes lefanov. Was Adam required to investigate what she placed before him? So look at the sequence again. Hashem says, Ayaka, I heard your voice in the garden. I'm afraid. I'm naked. I hid. So God says, really? Hamin ha'etz. Did you by chance eat from the fruit of the tree that I told you not to eat from? Vayomer ha'adam, ha'isha, the woman, asher nasna imadi, that you gave with me, he nasna li min eitz v'ocha. So remember, the original kasha of the Aruch Chaim is, how's Adam answering the question? God didn't say, how did you procure the food? He said, how did you get the food? I don't care if you bought it in the supermarket, grew it in your backyard, ordered it on Amazon Prime or Uber Eats. Asked you if you ate it. You're telling me someone who gave you the food? I didn't ask you who gave you the food. Adam's answering the question. Adam is saying, I don't know. You created this beautiful woman. Nothing bad comes down. Ein davar ra min ha-shamayim, says Rachayim. Nothing bad comes down from Shemayim. If you gave her to me to be my Ezer Kenegdo, my helper opposite me, and she made supper, and the whole garden is before me, what was the Lashon of the Aruch Chaim? It's so beautiful. Talking about enjoying Hashem's world. Hello, kol ha'aretz lefanavi, melei ma'adanim asher nata Hashem. The whole earth is before him, full of tasty delicacies that God planted. Rabbi David would whisper to his friend Elliot Kaplan, who was affixing the microphone. He would say, Elliot, I have delicious cinnamon cake for dessert tonight on Shabbos. The watermelon I picked out looks so delicious. Imagine, says Faith Over Fear, the delicious juice dripping down your chin of the luscious apple, the juicy watermelon, of the bursting segments of the vitamin C orange. You have to see the world is Meleya Ma'adani Mashanata Hashem. The world is full of beautiful plantains. I ate plantain tonight for the first time. It's very cool. Did anyone ever eat them? Oh, you did? Oh, interesting. They sell them in Costco. I've never bought them before. I don't even know how to do them. My husband said it tastes like a rice cake. You have to fry them, I know, to make them edible. It was really cool. So Hashem says, oh, so now when they ask me if they're trying to do your plantain, I'll be able to say yes. And it was very good. And I spoke about it, and I encourage you to try it one time. Just ask for us if you can make a shechianu. I realized while I was eating it, what?
It was fried.
My husband said it was fried? Yeah, you have to fry plantains to make it edible. He didn't know it was plantains. He didn't know it was fried. So that's what Adam's saying. Mamish, what my husband just said. Adam's saying, you think I know what I ate? I'm clueless. Whatever she put down on the plate, that's what I ate. If it's plantains, it's plantains. If it's usher, it's usher. If it's mutter, I'm not a mashgiach. You gave it to me. The Jewish home does not need mashgiach. The kitchen does not need mashgiach. We rely on the woman. Think about that. It's unbelievable. There's no mashgiach for taras ha-mishpacha. There's no mashgiach for kashrus. There's no mashgiach for basar b'chalav. God trusts you. So Adam says, you trust her, shouldn't I trust her? The world is full of tasty delicacies that Hashem made. Have some coffee. This is the best breakfast. I am sure that my breakfast is the best breakfast. Enjoy it. So if the whole world is Malaya Ma'adanim, Eden, Ma'adanim, Eden. The whole world is full of these amazing delicacies planted by Hashem. Why would I think she's feeding me? Treif, Asur, Ma'achalos, Asuros. So when he says, Ha'isha, Asher Nasna Imadi, he's not trying to be a kofer tov. He's not trying to shirk responsibility. He's not trying to pass the blame. He's literally saying, I don't know what I ate. Whatever the woman you gave me fed me, that's what I ate. What do you think of this? It's unbelievable. Where am I up to? So why would he have to check what she gives him before him? Nancy loves the idea of being a mashgiach in her own kitchen. I have to say something to clarify. No one should misunderstand. Good point. I think Malki Sultan once emailed me something along these lines to make sure that I clarify. So Malki Sultan, I listen. If you have a shayla in the kitchen, it doesn't mean you don't have to ask your rav. Let me be very, very clear. We have shaylas all the time in the kitchen. So it's true, there's no mashgiach with you. It's true, Hashem trusts us. But if you have a shayla in taras ha-mishpacha, you have to ask. And if you have a shayla in the kitchen, you have to ask. So Hashem expects us and trusts us, but if you're unsure, don't assume. Okay, Malki, how was that? Okay. Based on this explanation, the Rechaim explains the seemingly superfluous expression of min ha'etz. Remember Adam says, the woman that you gave me, she gave me min ha'etz. But everyone knows we're talking about min ha'etz. And when Isha says, hanachash hishi ani va'achal, the serpent convinced me and I ate it. She doesn't say min ha'etz. She just says, the serpent convinced me and I ate, because everyone knows we're talking about the tree. Peirush min ha'etz hanatu began. He meant, yes, Malki Sultan, it's such an amazing viewpoint. So my son learned this from Rabbi Len and Darche in 7th grade. And now can I know the boys are in 11th grade. And my son and I were talking last Shabbos about Divrei Torah, we'll never forget. And we both said this is one of them. Because it's really such an unbelievable perspective. He's not being kafui tov. He's literally saying, I don't know, my wife made supper and that's what I ate. When you make supper, does everyone at the table ask you where you bought the meat? What's the hashgacha? Did you have a shayla? Did you boil the liver? Is it mahadrim, beit Yosef? Call savor gourmet ga'ah. They eat the food. In fact, Sukkos, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, we had a guest Friday night. And it was the first time anyone ever asked me this question. Sim, remember? She wanted to know where I bought the meat and what hashkacha was it, what meat was it, and where I bought it. So I said, this is actually the first time in my life anyone ever asked me that. She was originally from Williamsburg. I'm not sure. Satmir. She grew up Satmir. I'm not sure the story right now. But it was interesting that she was coming to eat my house at all, and she wanted to know where the meat was from. So, one second. So I said, you know, it was a friend of hers who was the shliach who was bringing her, who said her friend wants to know where the meat is from. I said, wow, this is the first time anyone really, mamish, ever asked me this question. So I think I bought it from a gourmet god. I said, this is where I bought it from. I said, really, the whole five towns eats from these supermarkets, but Samar, I don't know. I'm just telling you where I bought it. Anyway, she came to us and she ate. Well, that was really the only time in 26 and a half years that anyone ever asked me, where's your food from? Where did you buy? What's hashkacha? So what should Adam say? Where did you buy from? Nancy's taking a kashrut class. Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure my point was clear. Shani says maybe he's faulted for not paying attention. I don't know. No, I don't think so, Shani. He's not paying attention. He's saying it's not my job to check her kitchen preparation. You gave it to me. Everything you do is good. So I'm eating the food you gave me. I think Esty brings up an interesting point. Maybe it would be bad for Shalom Bias if he says, what are you serving me? Can I trust you? They just got married. She makes dinner. Can you imagine if he comes home and he says, is it kosher? You don't trust me? Why'd you marry me? Very nice. Maybe, Hushani, who says it looked different from all the other foods? There were all kinds of delicacies in the Garden of Eden. Who says it looked different? Maybe it looked the exact same. I don't know. Maybe it looked similar. You could confuse an estrogen and lemon if you're not well-versed. By the way, no pun intended, there's a strong opinion that it was an Esra. Pre-Eitz Hadar, the Lashon by the Esrog is very similar. I think it's by Yikra 23:41. The Lashon, L'kach dem lechem b'yam ha'bishon pre-Eitz Hadar, kapost mari v'anaf eitz avos u'smechtem l'fnei Hashem l'kechem shivas yamim. The Lashon by the Esrog is very similar to the Lashon by Isha contemplating the fruit. So Chazal say it was an Esrog. So let's say it was an Esrog, and it looks like a lemon, and they were just created. So what? They know they're well versed in the Lachos of Arba Minim, so she gave him Esrog, and he thought it was lemon, so he ate it. I don't think you could say it looked different from all the fruits, because we don't know what it looked like. And as usual, it's 9:13, meaning I'm running out of time. So when he said, I ate from the tree, perish mina ate and a tree began. All he meant was, I ate from a tree that is planted in this garden. There are many trees planted in this garden. I have no reason to suspect anything. Ki kula malaya nitei Hashem. Once again, Baruch Haim says, Adam is saying, this whole garden is full of plantings of God, and we're allowed to eat all of them. Why would I think she went to the one tree I'm not allowed to eat from? Viduyak omra mina eitz. Therefore, precisely, he said, she gave me of the tree. He's specifying it came from the tree, meaning it must be a different tree. It must be a kosher tree, a permitted tree. Ki lo ala eitz hamuzkar, b'divrei Hashem hu omar. He was, in fact, not referring to the eitz hadas that Hashem just mentioned. Hashem says, did you eat from the forbidden tree? And Adam says, no, of course not, God. Why would I do that? My tzaddikus wife would never feed me treif. And I don't have to ask her where she bought it. One time that I can remember, in 26 years, somebody asked me, now I'm talking about if it's Chalav Yisrael or Yashan or Pas Yisrael. Mamish is the meat kosher. I never had that before. Where did you buy your meat? Adam should do that. Esti Klein is right. Imagine the Shalom Bais problems it would cause. So Davka, when he says, the woman you gave me, she gave me min ha'etz, he's saying to Hashem, of course I didn't eat from the forbidden fruit. I ate from a tree that's kosher, because that's what my tzaddikus kosher wife gave me. Ella, I'll eat matzeh ha'gan. I ate from a fruit in the tree of the garden. Okay. So, therefore, it would seem, says Zohar Chaim, Adam was innocent from any wrongdoing. L'me'ata ein biyad Adam avon el shogeg. Zohar Chaim goes so far as to say, Shani, you proposed last week, but maybe it's his fault, so he's punished mida kenega mida. Zohar Chaim is saying, adraba. He did not do an intentional sin. This was totally bishgaga. Completely unintentional. Perhaps he goes so far as to say, "Efshar shadin ones yeshlam." Perhaps he was an ones. What's ones? One who is forced to do something beyond his control. How would it look if he said, "I don't trust you. I'm not eating your supper." Ki lo haya lo makom lomar lo. There was no room for Hashem to say to him, Hayala chalaseis lev leval techta. You should have paid attention, which is what someone just said. You should have paid attention. No, it's not true. Maybe he was faulted for not paying attention. He did not have to pay attention. God cannot say to him, you should have paid more careful attention. Velo chashar b'isha. Shatachilehu davar iser. Why would he suspect that this woman, and in fact he should not suspect that this woman gave him something forbidden? Kaven shenitna lo me'al alyan me'kelyan. She gave him from the food of the God Most High. He's not allowed to suspect her. Not only is Bishogi, perhaps he's even an onis. You can't say he should have paid more attention. Because he doesn't have to be her mashgiach. He doesn't have to be breathing down her neck. He doesn't have to watch everything to do. He trusts her to feed him food that's kosher. Well, as that timtzan, therefore you find that Hashem only cursed Adam by cursing the land. B'za'ara pecha tocha lechem arur ha'adama ba'avurich. Hashem curses the land, and that's a curse to Adam. Whereas by Isha, he curses Isha herself. You'll have Tsar Gidobanim, Tsar Ledasbanim, Tsar Herayon. He curses the Nachash himself. You'll walk on your belly, everything will taste like dust. Adam, the land is cursed because of Adam, not Adam directly. And the Arachaim says that's because this wasn't Adam's Avon Bemezid. It was Shogeg or even Ones. But as the truth is, Adam's error was that he was not careful. I'm just summing it up because our time is more than up. When he relayed to Isha the prohibition of the Eitz Hadas, which is exactly what the Meshech Chachma said last week, he mentioned the fruit was prohibited, not the tree itself, and therefore he was held accountable because Chava was Isha was led to sin. But he is not held fully accountable in the terms that we don't charge him with a mazid, certainly not. Maybe it's a shogeg and might even be ones. And when he says to God, the woman that you gave me, she gave me from the fruit and I ate it. He's not being chutzedek. He's not being kafui tov. He's not being sarcastic. He's not being rebellious. He's simply saying, I don't know. I trust her because I trust you. If you created her, she's my helper opposite me. This whole world is full of tasty delicacies for us to enjoy. She gave it to me and I ate it. Okay. I was not offended. So Shoshana just wrote, when you come from a place where people hold by different hashgacha, you get that question a lot, and yes, people get very offended. So then I have to clarify something else. I was totally not offended. I did not mean to give that impression at all. I was not offended at all. Yes, people got very offended implies that perhaps I gave over that I was offended. I was totally not offended that she asked me. I was surprised because I've never gotten that question before. But I was totally not offended. I know where I buy my food. I know what Hashgach we trust, the Ribbono Shel Olam knows, my husband doesn't ask me where I bought it. I was definitely not offended, just to clarify. If you have a kitchen shayla, ask the rabbi. It's gevaldik. So I hope, like me and my son Shmuel, you will remember this Dvar Torah for many years to come. Go share it, it's amazing. Have a wonderful evening. L'zeicha Nishmas Mirim Fuhl, Mirim Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom, L'Hagdol Torah, L'Adira. We'll continue next week, Be'ezer Hashem. Thank you so much, everybody. Laila Tov. Yes, next week in person and on Zoom. Be'ezer Hashem. Thank you so much, everyone.